ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टके सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 25 चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ किंग पुरंजना टेक्स्ट नंबर 42 कस्सा मनस्ते भुवि भोगी भोगय स्त्रियान सज्जेत भुजयोर महाभुज जो अनाथ भर्गादिम अलंघ्नद्गत स्मितावलोकेन चरति अपोहितुम् मनस्ते भुवि भोगि भोगय स्त्रिया न सज्जेत भुजयोर महाभुज जो नाथ भर्गादिम अलंघ्नन्दत स्मितावलोकेन चरति अपोहितुम् मनस्ते भुवि भोगि भोगय स्त्रिया न सज्जेत भुजयोर महाभुज जो अनाथ वर्गादिम अलंघ्नन्दत स्मितावलोकेन चरति अपोहितुम्
Thank you.
तस्या हुज मनः माइंड ते योर भुवि इन दिस वर्ल्ड भोगी भोगय लाइक द बॉडी ऑफ ए सर्पेंट स्त्रिया ऑफ ए वुमेन नॉट सज्जेत becomes attracted bhujaya by the arms mahabhuja o mighty arm ya one who anata varga of poor women like me adhim distresses of the mind alam ebo घृणा उद्धत बाय एग्रेसिव मर्सी स्मित अवलोकन बाय एट्रैक्टिव स्माइलिंग चरति ट्रैवल्स अपोहितुम टू डिसिपेट ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन ओ माइटी आर्म्ड Who in this world will not be attracted by your arms, which are just like the bodies of serpents? Actually, you relieve the distress of husbandless women like us by your attractive smile and your aggressive mercy. We think that you are traveling on the surface of the earth just to benefit us only. Please repeat, O mighty arm, who in this world will not be attracted? By your arms, which are just like the bodies of serpents. Actually, you relieve the distress of husbandless women like us by your attractive smile and your aggressive mercy. We think that you are traveling on the surface of the earth just to benefit us only. When a husbandless woman is attacked by an aggressive man, she takes his action to be mercy. A woman is generally very much attracted by a man's long arms. A serpent's body is round and it becomes narrower and thinner at the end. The beautiful arms of a man appear to a woman just like serpents, and she very much desires to be embraced by such arms. The word anatha varga is very significant in this verse. Natha means husband and a means without. A young woman who has no husband is called anatha, meaning one who is not protected. As soon as a man attains the age of puberty, she immediately becomes very much agitated by sexual desire. It is therefore the duty of the father to get his daughter married before she attains puberty. Otherwise, she will be very much mortified by not having a husband. Anyone who satisfies her desire for sex at that age becomes a great object of satisfaction. It is a psychological fact that when a woman at the age of puberty meets a man and the man satisfies her sexually, she will love that man for the rest of her life, regardless who he is. Thus, so-called love within this world is nothing but sexual satisfaction. Mukam krati vasalam pangur langhayate giring jatkripatamaham vande sri gurudinatarinam paramananda madhavam sri chaitanyasaram namam vishnu padaya krishna pishtaya bhutale srimati hridaya patakasam. So this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the allegorical story of King Puranjana, so we are discussing the attraction between man and woman, and that is the binding force of this material existence. So Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that apindriya priti vancha tare vale kam krishnendriya priti vancha dhare premanam. So when we desire for our own sense gratification, that is called lust, and when we desire to satisfy the senses of Krishna, that is called love. So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada is explaining that the so-called love within this material world is nothing but sexual satisfaction. And that is the reality. And Prabhupada says, as long as the desire for sex life will be there, we will have to be in this material world. Because that is the binding force which keep us bound in this material world. So, we will discuss today the different aspect of lust and how to overcome that by the process of Krishna consciousness. So, lust is a great enemy within. We have enemy outside, but the greatest enemies are lying within. There are six enemies, and out of these six, three enemies are described in Bhagavad Gita. And these are called Kama, Krodha and Lobha. Kama means lust, Krodha means anger, and Lobha means greed. And Prabhupada used to say, these are the three royal roads to hell. And there is no traffic jam. You can easily go there, very quickly, very fast. No traffic light. So as soon as we are captivated by these three enemies within, there is no chance of spiritual advancement. Because lust and love are diametrically opposite. So therefore, in order to attack the enemy, we have to measure the enemy. His strength, weaknesses, where he stays, how to attack. Unless you don't know that, you will be defeated, right? And one of the cause of defeat is that when you underestimate the enemy. So once someone said, Prabhupada, your disciples are falling down. Prabhupada said, one of the cause that they are falling down because they are not scared of Maya. That's why they are falling down. So therefore, we should not underestimate the power of lust. Devyesa gunamoi mama maya durattaya mame bhaja prapadante maya metam tarantite. So by our own endeavor, it's impossible to overcome the lusty desire within. So that is the secret. So once Subhag Maharaj was there, he was a brahmachari that time, and he was with Prabhupada, and he asked Prabhupada, when this lusty desire will go away from my heart? Prabhupada said, it will never go away. And he was very sad to hear that. He was not satisfied with the answer. Then after a few days, again Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and he asked the same question. And Prabhupada understood the mood of Subhag Maharaj. Then he said, okay, you can overcome that when Govinda Ichha, when the Lord will desire. So by that he explained that by our own endeavor, we cannot overcome the attack of lust. So that is the fundamental principle. So therefore, in order to overcome the lusty desire, you have to take shelter. Shelter is the only hope. So that's why Krishna is also telling in Bhagavad Gita that Daivyesa Gunamai Mama Maya Duratay. Impossible to overcome. But Mamevaja Prapadante, who takes shelter of me, can easily cross over. So therefore, this is the fundamental principle that we have to take shelter. We have to take shelter of who is not overcome by lusty desire. If someone is overcome by lusty desire, if you take shelter of him, it is not possible to overcome that. So therefore, by the mercy of the pure devotees, by the mercy of the previous acharyas, by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, internal potency, we can overcome this lusty desire. So therefore, in order to overcome that, we have to understand the effect of lust. There are different effects of lust, but it can be divided into three. Lust makes us blind. This is the first effect of lust. And lust takes away the association of devotees. And number three, lust keeps us bound in this material world. So these are three tremendous impact lust has in our spiritual life. So first is lust makes us blind. So there are four kinds of blind people. One is called Janmanda, who is born blind. Second one is called Kamanda, who is blinded by lust. Then there is Lobanda, who is blinded by greed. And last one, who is blinded by pride. So four kind of blind men. And one of them is who is blinded by lust. Lust makes people blind. Spiritual vision is totally off when you are lusty. So there was a man, his name was Silana Mishra. And he was attracted to a prostitute, very beautiful prostitute, and her name was Chintamani. And this Silana Mishra used to go to this prostitute every evening. So one that evening, it was a rainy, heavy rain was going on. And on that day, one of the relative of Silana Mishra died. Maybe his father died. So his other relatives are telling, Silana, today you don't go, it's raining, you have to do the final rites of your father. Please don't go today. Silana said, I cannot stay without going to Chintamani. I have to go. And Silana used to stay one side of the river and Chintamani used to stay other side of the river. And he used to go every day by boat. So that day heavy rain and the river was overflowing, very heavy rain. So there was no boat. How to go? So he saw a log of wood was flowing on the water. And he jumped on that log and he swam across that heavy, rainy, overflowing river. And he crossed that river. After crossing, all the doors are closed because of rain of the Chintamani's house. So Chintamani stays upstairs, maybe on the second floor. Then how he'll enter there? So he said, there is a tree and he can climb on the tree and from that tree he can go through the window and enter into a room. So how will go like that? And he saw a rope and he took that rope and went up and entered into the room of Chintamani. And Chintamani was surprised to see Silana is here. He said, Silana, you are here today. So I heard that your father died and such a heavy rain, no boat, how you came? Then he said, yes, I came. Then he said, how you climbed up? He said, by a rope. He said, what kind of rope? Let me check. And she came near to the window and saw there's a snake. It's a big venomous snake there. And he took help of the snake to climb up. And he said, how you crossed the river? He said, no, there is a log of wood, big log of wood. He said, what kind of wood? Let me check. And he said, there's a dead body of a person. So that is the power of lust. So for a lusty person, a dead body looks like a wood, log of wood, and a snake looks like a rope. So how much powerful the lust is. So then Chintamani told Silana Mishra, what kind of attraction you have for me, if a fraction of that attraction you can have for the Lord Krishna, then your life will become successful. Then that opened the eye of Silana Mishra. And he immediately left Chintamani and went to Vrindavan and he became Billa Mangal Thakur. So that is the power of lust that makes us blind. Second effect is, when you are lusty, you give up the association of devotees. You cannot have association of devotees. Even if you may superficially stay in the association of devotees, but you cannot experience the devotee association. And you may physically leave the association also. So, Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India. He was traveling and he had a servant. His name was Kala Krishna Das. And Kala Krishna Das was traveling in South India, but there is a Bhattahari group. They have a sexual relationship, there is a spiritual group, but they have unrestricted sex. And somehow or other, this Kalakrishna Das got attracted to this group. And what he did? He left Mahaprabhu. And he was staying with that Bhattahari group. And Mahaprabhu had to go personally. What old is Sikha? And took him and rescued him. And he brought him back in Nilachal Dham and told Nityananda Prabhu, please take his charge. I don't want to take him back. Then Nityananda Prabhu took charge. So Nityananda Prabhu sent him to West Bengal. And somehow he was taken care of by Nityananda Prabhu. The principle is, even if you are staying with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the embodiment of love, even after that, you may be attracted by lust. We should not think, oh, we are in the association of devotees, nice, we will not be attracted. If you are not careful, Prabhupada said, it's like a razor edge, any time we can be victim of lust. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, we think it's too much to follow. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that we should avoid intimate association. Who should avoid? A father with his daughter, with his young daughter, a brother with his young sister, and the last one is, what is that third one? Father, daughter, a mother and son. Son with young mother. So we should avoid, we should not sit in one asana. That is the recommendation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada also exhibited that in his life. Srila Prabhupada was in his room and his sister came to see him. And as soon as she came in, one of his disciples came out that they will talk private. Then Prabhupada called him back. And that, by that he established the principle, even if Prabhupada, such an old man, Param Bhagavat from the spiritual world, when he is talking to his old sister also, he doesn't want to talk to her alone. And in that way, he sets the example how careful we should become in order to be free from the victimization of lust. So therefore, it is very, very important. Even if grihastha life also, we should not think the culture of India that husband and wife also is always separated. It's not that husband and wife is always stay together. In the early days, I used to hear from my mother and father that in the early days in India, that husband and wife could not see each other daytime. Only in the evening, the husband can see the wife. That was the culture. Because as soon as you get close, you will become weak. Heart will become agitated. What to talk about coming close together? If you talk over phone intimately, you will be agitated. And that is the power of lust. So therefore you have to become very, very careful. And Prabhupada said that what to talk, the glance, one glance is enough to keep someone in this material world. One glance of a woman or one glance of a man can destroy your spiritual life. So therefore, the Vedic culture is that a man should not look at the face of the woman. Why? We say it's too conservative concept. There is a science behind it. As soon as you see the face of a woman, the tendency that you want, that glance and that attraction can develop. So therefore, we have to be very, very careful. But if you don't follow, choice is ours. Oh, it's Srimad Bhagavatam, it's old age. It's not applicable now. So the same principle applied millions of years ago, same principle applies now. Principle remains the same. And that principle remains more now because of the influence of Kali Yuga. We have to be more careful. So therefore, that kind of thing should be established. So therefore, we should not think, oh, we are in the association of devotees. Kalakrishna Das was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any association is greater than Mahaprabhu? Still, he was attracted. Why? Because he was not careful. And third impact of lust is that it keeps us bound in this material world. Srila Prabhupada said, when you are free from sexual desire, you are 50% liberated. And balance 50 is spiritual life. But if you have sexual desire, very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. very difficult. So, because attraction, this is diametrically opposite, attraction for the opposite sex and attraction for Krishna is diametrically opposite. You cannot expect, oh, I will be attracted to the opposite sex, at the same time I will be attracted to Krishna. It doesn't happen. So therefore, as soon as possible, Prabhupada said, we should be free. Then real spiritual life will begin. You experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness when we are free from lusty desires. But why we are not experiencing the bliss of Krishna consciousness? Because we are overcome by the lusty desires. And it covers our devotional practice. It covers. We cannot experience it. So therefore, we have to uncover the covering of lusty desires. So this is the understanding. Even if understanding is there, you cannot guarantee that you will not be victimized by lust. So, Ajamil, he knew everything, all this. Still, he was victimized. Why? Because he did not have the shelter. So therefore, although we know so many things, but we have to take it shelter. Once Srila Prabhupada told his disciples that Maya cannot touch me. Even if I am in the association of naked women, I will not be agitated. It's a very big statement. So after a few days, he was in Australia in one temple, and Prabhupada was intensely praying to the Lord. And after the prayer was over, one disciple approached him. Prabhupada, what did you pray? He said, I was praying so that I don't become attracted by Maya. And that devotee was there when Prabhupada said that Maya cannot touch him. And he thought, it's contradictory statement. He said, Prabhupada, you told that Maya cannot touch you, but you are telling that you are praying to the Lord that you will not be affected by Maya. He said, it's nothing contradictory. He said, because I am always praying intensely to the Lord that please protect me from Maya, that's why Maya cannot touch me. And that is the symptom of shelter. When you are always under shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maya cannot touch you. So in that way, we have to take shelter. And the best shelter in Kali Yuga is Nityananda Prabhu. So when we take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, and we take shelter of Srimati Radharani, intensely pray to them, then there is a possibility that Maya will not touch us. So that is called shelter. So there is a great devotee, his name is Jamunacharya. So even if we have the understanding, even if we have the shelter, Jamunacharya had the understanding and he had the shelter also. But what he is telling in his sloka, he said, when I started experiencing the mellow of Krishna consciousness, when the thought of sexual desire came into my mind, my face curls in disgust and I spit on that thought. So by that we learn two principles, that even if we have the shelter and even if we have the understanding, Jamunacharya is telling that sexual desire thought may come. But what is the reaction? That is most important. He gets disgusted by that thought and he spits on that thought. And Prabhupada was analyzing these words of Jamunacharya and was giving a lecture, and Prabhupada practically spat. He was spitting in the Bhagavatam class. So by that we can understand so much disgust Prabhupada has for sexual thoughts. And that is the difference between a sincere devotee and devotee with hypocrisy. A sincere devotee, those who are very sincere to give up the sexual desire, because he is not a pure devotee yet, he is not completely free from the sexual desire, the thought will come. It's like a flow in the ocean, but the shore of the ocean is not affected by that. In the same way, for a sincere devotee, those who are really want to become a pure devotee of the Lord, the thought of the sexual desire may come, but how he responds, that's very, very important. And that determines the level of devotee. So any sexual action has four stages. First is thinking, then feeling, then willing, then action. Unless you become a pure devotee of the Lord, then thinking will not stop. Thought will come, because the ether of this material world is surcharged with lusty desire. Whole atmosphere is lust, because the whole material world is made of lust. So that thought will come. But if someone is very sincere, then when thought will come, he will say no. That is the difference between a sincere devotee and not a sincere devotee. That is the difference. Otherwise, if someone is weak in Krishna consciousness, what he will do? After thinking, he will start feeling. And Bhagavad Gita explains, although we may be in the robe of a sannyasi or robe of a brahmachari, but when we experience the joy of sexual thoughts within, he is a hypocrite. And Krishna doesn't tolerate that. Krishna wants simplicity. He does not like hypocrisy. So those who are wearing the robe of a tyagi, thoughts come, but thought may come. But he should immediately say no. But he will start feeling and then willing. Then you are a hypocrite. So therefore, we have to take care of our hypocrisy within, because enemies are within. We may cheat everybody, but you cannot cheat Krishna, because he is lying within as super soul. So therefore, in order to defeat the enemy, we have to know our power. And the power to defeat the enemy is the shelter of the holy name and shelter of Krishna. So when you take shelter, then we can say no. Because our intelligence has to be strong. How our intelligence will be strong? Tesang satata yuktanang bhajatang priti purvakam dadami buddhi jogamtam janamam pojantite. When we are constantly engaged in loving devotional service of the Lord, our intelligence will become very strong. And in that process, even if the thought of sexual desire will come, you have the power of intelligence to say no to that thought. Otherwise, if you are very weak in Krishna consciousness, you will respond yes. And as one yes response is enough for you to keep us in this material world and take birth again in this material world. So therefore, this is the fight within going on. So in order to win over the fight against lust, we have to be constantly vigilant and taking shelter of the superior energy. So when we do that, then we develop love. So when we develop love, then we are not affected by lust desire. But till that happens, this is called sadhana bhakti. So this is the process of sadhana bhakti. When we attain love of God, then we don't have this problem. But to develop attraction for Krishna, what we have to do? We have to see the deity, beautiful form of the Lord. Because sexual attraction begins when you are attracted to the form. So our attraction to see form has to be converted to see the beautiful form of the Lord. Prabhupada said, so when you are agitated by the sexual desire, then you should do the deity worship, see the beautiful form of the Lord. The eyebrows of Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna. Then when you get attracted to the beautiful deity form of the Lord, then you lose the attraction for the beautiful form of this material world. So first is, we have to see that beautiful form of the Lord. And second is, you have to serve the Lord. Practical devotional service has to be rendered. In order to develop attraction for Krishna, we have to exhibit that practical devotional service to the Lord. Practical service. And number three, we have to hear about Lord. So when we do these three things, then slowly, slowly, attraction for Krishna is developed. The whole body is like a system, like a camera. So the eyes are like the lens, and mind is like the film. So our mind is overloaded with the pictures of this material world. Overloaded. So as soon as we see the form, it's not captured within. Why? Because mind is overloaded. There is no place for Krishna within. So as soon as we enter into the, we see the Lord, but as soon as other form comes within, we get attracted. Because our mind is overloaded with the material objects. So what's the solution then? People say, oh, we are coming for so many years, but attraction for the deity is not developing. What to do? Because how we can develop? Because our mind, feel like mind, is overloaded. No place for Krishna. So in order to create a place in the mind, we have to empty the mind. And process of emptying the mind is the constant hearing from the pure devotees. When you hear about Krishna, the glorious pastimes of Krishna, when you chant the holy name, then slowly, slowly, unloading process of the mind goes on. And when there is a place in the mind by constant hearing, then slowly, slowly, picture of Krishna is captured in the mind. So slowly, slowly, what happens? Unloading of the material objects is happening and loading of the Krishna objects coming in the mind. When mind will become full with Krishna, then there is no place for Maya. And that time you develop love of God and the object of this material world will not attract you. And that is the goal of our Krishna consciousness. And that will be possible only by the shelter and association of the devotees. Association is very, very important. So association means giving the heart. What is love? Love means giving the heart. So one devotee was approached by a lady, "I want to marry you." He said, "How can I marry you? Because I have given my heart to Krishna. There is no place for you." So a pure devotee, that is his position. There is no concept of marriage because he is completely sold to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these kind of people should not be approached because they have given their life, find other husband. So therefore, it's very, very important in our Krishna consciousness movement that approaching for husband is not good because you don't know that someone is sold out to Krishna or not. And when someone is sold out to Krishna completely, approaching him means you are offending him. So therefore it is very, very important that there should be a social system of marriage. Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, very strongly he is making, because it is very, very scientific. Who should be the best, who should be the husband? The first person he gives his heart. And that was the culture in Vedic system. As soon as you become young, means you understand that you are a girl, she should be married. And that was scientific because the first person you love, that will be the, he is telling, that will be the object of love throughout her life. But what happens in the modern society? You are giving love, but you are not marrying him. So you are giving heart to too many people, but when you are marrying someone, he is a different person. So therefore there are so much marriage breaking happening. Why? Because you are not the marrying the person whom you love the best. That's why Prabhupada is telling, it's a very scientific Vedic system, that first boy he is giving heart, he should be the husband. And that is the scientific basis of marriage life in the Vedic system. And because that is not happening, because of late marriage, before marriage happens, we give heart to so many other people. That's why when you marry each other, there are so many other people in our heart. And when that happens, that cannot be any good household life. And that is the problem in our society. And Prabhupada is very strongly pointing out that, and we can establish that, then there can be steady grihastha life in our movement. Otherwise, having a steady grihastha life is a dream if you don't follow the principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. So it's a very sensitive topic. So if I spoke something wrong, so please forgive me. And if you have any question, we can take one, two questions. Time is up already. Thank you very much. No question? No, your question? I thought happy life today, no question. Take the mic.
Thank you for the class. You mentioned about that we cannot get over lusty desires. The only way to do it is by Krishna's mercy. And then after you also said that we have to say no. But it seems like you have to have strong will. This means it's your power. whereas the other one is the mercy of Krishna, so it's a bit contradictory. Can you explain?
Krishna consciousness is always contradictory, but there is a principle behind that also. It's nothing contradictory. So when you are engaged constantly in loving service of Krishna, Krishna gives you the power of intelligence. Tesang satata juktanang bhajatam piti purvakam dadami buddhi jagamta. Who gives that intelligence? Krishna. So when you are sincerely engaged in the service of the Lord, Krishna gives you the power to say no. But when you are not properly engaged in the service of the Lord, then you don't get that spiritual intelligence, then you fear to the lust. But when you are properly engaged, then intelligence becomes powerful. But when you are not properly engaged, then your mind becomes powerful. So when your mind becomes powerful, then you become the victim of lust. But when your intelligence becomes very powerful, then intelligence can say to the mind, no. And that is always going on. The mind-intelligence fight is always going on within. Sometimes intelligence wins, sometimes mind wins, depending on our level of consciousness. As a sadhaka, we may be sometimes defeated by the mind, but we should not give up the hope. We should continue our journey. Just like sometimes Mangala Arati, we have to get up. Mind says, oh, I am too tired today. That is mind's call, right? But when your intelligence is very sharp, no, no, no. So, I will get up. So that is Krishna's call. So which call you respond depending on your individual sadhana level. But even if sometimes you get defeated, but we should continue our journey. That is called sadhana. So one day you can say no all the time. Then you are nishtha bhakti, then you are steady. Because we have a lot of material desires, we should not expect. Now you can say no to all the calls. But when you make a mistake, you said yes, you should lament, come to the Lord, beg forgiveness and tell Him strength so that I can say no next time. So that journey, when you, then Krishna will say, oh, he is very sincere. So when someone is very, very sincere, although sometimes he is defeated, then Krishna empowers him. And one day you can say no to all the calls. And then you are in fixed devotional service, nishtha bhakti. And when you are in nishtha bhakti, after some time, immediately you will get taste for devotional service. That is called ruchi. When you develop the taste, then this kind of call will be very less. Because you are in the process of getting love of God. Okay?
Hare Krishna. I have one more question.
One more question? Okay.
You mentioned about Krishna, Kaliya Krishna Das?
Kala Krishna Das.
Kala Krishna Das, okay. He got distracted but while he was in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and got him and left him in the care of Nityananda Prabhu. But then there was this other story of this other devotee who went to take rice from the Mataji, who was elderly, and there was no sign of lusty desires, yet he chastised him and he refused to see him, and the person drowned himself or whatever it was, he killed himself. So it seems like on one hand he was being merciful to one, I mean externally speaking, I'm sure it was mercy in both, but can you explain more? What was the reason for acting in one way and then acting in the other way for the other?
Yeah, that devotee was in renounced order. That's why Mahaprabhu behaved differently with the householders and also with the person who are in renounced order of life. So this man, I forgot the name, what's the name? Chota Haridas. He was in renounced order of life. And what he did, he went and begged something from Madhavi Devi. Madhavi Devi is not an ordinary lady, he is one of the close associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went and personally went alone and took something from her, which is against the principle of renounced order of life. Addressing a woman alone is a very strong principle against the renounced order of life. And Mahaprabhu did not tolerate. Mahaprabhu was very, very strong for the renounced order of life. He would not see the face of the woman, and woman has to offer obeisances from a distance. Why? Because he cannot see their face. And Mahaprabhu used to say that I am a fallen sannyasi. If I see a beautiful doll of a girl, my mind gets agitated. So therefore, I am to be very, very careful. Because Chota Haridas broke the principle, he became very heavy. But for other people, he was lenient because they are not in renounced of mind. Depending on the position, those who are in higher position, Mahaprabhu was very strict. Those who are in not that position, he was little lenient. So therefore, those who are in a responsible position, they have to be more and more careful. Someone, a king, if he breaks the rule, his punishment will be much more severe than an ordinary man. If a brahmana breaks regulatory principle, his punishment will be much more severe than a sudra. If sudra breaks principle, it's not so important to consider. But if brahmana breaks principle, just like when you take brahmana initiation, you have to be very, very careful. Because after taking brahmana initiation, if you break for regulative principle, your future is very, very dark. So therefore, depending on our position, Lord also treats us differently. Ye jathamang prapadyante. When you are in a very, just like when you are in first floor of a building, if you fall, injury will be less. But if you fall from the top, you will be broken. You understand? So therefore, when you are in a big position, your fall down is very bad. And Krishna doesn't tolerate that. Hare go. And Mahaprabhu said, if a renounced order of life, if someone associates with a woman, he should commit suicide. And Chota Haridas did that. He set the example. By that, Chota Haridas not was attracted, but Mahaprabhu set the standard. Through different associates, Mahaprabhu set different standard. What should be the standard of a sannyasi? He set the standard through Chota Haridas. That's Mahaprabhu's first time. Chota Haridas is associate of Krishna, associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He will not be attracted by anybody. But he sets that example. So that is our standard. We should, oh, Prabhupada was so merciful. That's okay, but that's not the standard. Standard is Chota Haridas. We have to come to the standard only. That makes us humble. Mahaprabhu is so intelligent, through his different associates, he set the standard to keep us humble. Someone may think, oh, I am chanting very nicely. So what's our standard? Haridas Thakur. So if you see Haridas Thakur's life, you will be proud, I am chanting nicely. Anybody can go to the level of Haridas Thakur. If someone says, I am very renounced, or Raghunath Das Goswami, if see his renunciation, is there any example beyond that? Can you reach that level? So that's Mahaprabhu's mercy to keep us humble. So any area of life in our devotional service, there are different associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who sets the standard, and that is our standard. So to keep us humble, that you should not be satisfied, okay, I have achieved it. You cannot achieve it. Because spiritual life is never ending. Upa said, spiritual life begins when you are in the spiritual world. You should not think, I have perfected my life. Those who think he has perfected his life, he is the most imperfect position. Because perfection begins when you are in the spiritual world. So therefore, every associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sets different examples. So through Chota Haridas Thakur, Mahaprabhu sets the example what should be the standard of a person who is in renounced order. We'll end here, 8:55. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi, Gantara śrīmad bhāgvatam ki jāi, Samaveta gaura bhaktavinda ki jāi, Nitāi gaura premānande, Hari Hari Bhava.